It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we are doing something different. Someone on Facebook suggested to me that I should probably check out Elephant Tree and Habits. They're like a London-based stoner doom band, and apparently their album is one of the best ones that person has heard all year. Come out 24th of April this year. It kind of fit in, like, when I started listening to it with the weather, what it was. Today, it's not what it was. Summer has finally ended in the United Kingdom, Joe. It's pissing down outside here, and I know it's pissing down for you as well.
When would the Reading Festival normally be on? Is that this? That's normally
August.
Bank holiday August, isn't
it? Yeah. Reading and Leeds.
In Reading, yeah. So that's normally the whole thing. It normally comes back for one sort of final hurrah.
A little cheeky September.
It tries one more time in September, doesn't it? But then it just falls flat on its face and then back into the misery in October. But I get up at 5 o'clock and it's dark in the mornings again now.
Yeah, it was dark about... I've been getting up early as well this week for things I need to do. And, 7 o'clock and it's still dark. It's just fucking sucks. But never mind the weather. The artwork, it's a bit of a wibble. There's not much to talk about in the way of the artwork. It is... You would know that it was in the 2015 onwards region, the artwork when from it. It looks of a day.
Is this year?
24th of April this year.
Oh, that's good. Right.
So the artwork looks of the past 5 years.
We do like to push British bands, and we have been making a conscious effort this year to do new albums a bit, because we always used to do like the best of whatever year at the end of the year, but then didn't speak about anything during that time. So
no, we never talked about what we came up with in the end, which was a bit weird. I was like, we used to be so forward with like new albums, and then we just decided fuck it. I think it was more the music industry in general was pummeling us with shit, and we just couldn't be bothered with it.
Yeah,
I think that's where we ended up.
But like I say, it's always nice to push a British band. So, Elephant Tree. We've got this nice little sort of introduction that just builds up until this big, nice, chunky riff kicks in. Sales. Is this the first?
The first one's Wake Repeat and it's an intro, so that bears no more mention from us. I don't mind.
Go on.
It's full-on summer hazy drink, some more ale, smoke another joint kind of opener. Very catchy hook for the chorus. It is mixed with an eerie feel, and I'm getting with it. And the back end to the power chords has got some gravitas to it. Not my normal cup of tea, I have to say right now. This is not an album I'd normally be like, yeah, let's do this. But it's been a nice companion when we had sun. I forget that thing in the sky. We missed so much of it due to fucking Wuhan flu. It's been a nice walking companion. Good opener, sets out the stall for the band as we go along. And it's stoner doom rock, and I enjoyed the first track. Catchy hooks, man.
What strikes me about Elephant Tree is that they're not heavy metal, but they are... They're not metal, but they are heavy.
Mm.
And the sound is very big and very sort of dense.
Vast.
Yeah, vast. That's another nice word. And what sort of conjures up in my mind whilst listening to this album is like... one band they do kind of remind me of is Electric Wizard, but Electric Wizard are dark whilst Elephant Tree are bright. That makes sense. They're not a dark band or a aggressive, angry band. This is still heavy, but it's got a vast sort of soundscapey feel. So it's quite nice. Mm. I like the main riff. It's kind of just... I'm curious to hear this band live, because if they've got...
What I was thinking. I think it would be hard for them, you know.
I think if they had the bass like it is on this album, it'd give you that nice... If it, with the right monitors and the right thing, it would go through the audience, so you'd feel the bass in your gut as they play. And the bass lines on this album, the riffs aren't really sort of that intricate, but they just kind of... They serve their purpose. They're quite simple, you know, like this one is a... And the bass just sort of flows. And yeah, when they got that nice sort of hypnotic rolling bass that sort of hits you in the gut, I think that'd be really cool live. But it's a really nice chorus on this as well. They sung with the keyboards backing it up, and cool way to kick off an album. It's got my attention, definitely.
Yeah, so Faceless is up next. Again, slow, thudding stoner rock, but very melodic. I'm getting a cacophony of a mixture of different bands. I'm getting Corrosion, Nine Inch Nails, Typo, Negative Fives. Then we get like a full-on keyboard crescendo, and we get a blast of Floyd with it. And vast is exactly what I've said in this bit here. A large, vast sounds, and it does give you the images of what they're singing about, whether you're floating, flying. Even if it's slow, they do tend to do a really long build-up, and they take the time with it. They'll go on a little wander, and then they'll come back again to where they was. And there's no particular rhyme or reason for it. There's no like set like 4/4 or whatever. They'll get where they're going when they get there. And they do love a good bend, a good fret bend, a good wow, what a wow. They proper do it. But like it's music with quite a few layers in, and it does take a couple of listens to actually pick up on everything that's going on. And that was first time I heard it, was out in the sun. But the best experience probably was in the dark with the quality headphones on and a good fucking DAC. And yeah, there's a lot of layers in it that you will miss. But again, it's good. Another good little track, and it's blending well.
Yeah, I mean, this album definitely rewards repeated listens. On the first listen, I thought this would kind of be a band that I'd see as a support band that would be okay while they're on, but I'd be probably glad they're finished when they do finish. Today, I'm thinking I'd actually really like to see this band. I was won over as the week's gone on. And yeah, this song goes on a few different sort of tangents, really. You've got that sort of buildy, fast bit in the middle. But then when it just kicks into that fucking... Again, it just always opens up. You always feel like, you know, open space. You're thinking of like some out in the countryside, out over like a mountain view. Another band, again, that sound nothing like these guys, but Winter Falef. Their album covers are always like of an open countryside or of like a meadow or an open field. Again, or a view from a mountaintop. And that's the sort of thing I'm... It's really surprising this band are from London. That's one thing I've... Definitely got
it's such an open sound for a closed place.
Yeah, for a claustrophobic, grey, difficult, angsty place. And if on my, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post earlier this week.
You fucking hate it. I lived there and hated it.
Me and London have fallen out.
I've fallen out with London, and it wasn't anything because of splitting up with the ex. It was more about the fact that, fuck me, no one gives a shit about anyone there. And it's like just walking down the street, like up the beach this morning, someone said good morning, and I'm still getting used to that. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get that in London.
If you sold me that this band were from the coast, some coast of England, that's somewhere down south, Devon or Cornwall, because I'm picturing the coast when I hear this. And another song that we'll get to later on. Again, I'm thinking like I've got now. I'm in this in my cabin, and the rain's fucking beating at the foot, and I'm picturing this song being played by a fireplace in a pub somewhere. We'll get to that song when we get to it. But yeah, but again, the open sort of heavy, but that feeling of just floating above it all and escaping is a good feeling that you get from this album. So there's more things I want to say, but I don't want to repeat myself too much, so I'm going to try and go into it as this album goes on. But yeah.
So I've got a name. I love having these on-show discussions about the show. It's like the listeners are joining in. We're six this year. On the 31st of October, I am prepared to review one of the albums that we've spoken about in the chat by that particular band, anyone you like, probably the first one because I hated that more, live on YouTube for our sixth birthday. I think we should do some video for it. It gives us time to prepare, but We should just do a live one, man. And I'm prepared to sit there and suffer for fucking an hour with a bottle of wine and fucking a cold shower afterwards. But I think we should do something like that.
What, you just want to slag Cone off?
For a whole hour with wine. I can't see anything wrong with this show. But I have to suffer for our art. So I'm prepared to suffer for the art of the show. So we should try to do that. We have to do something for six. I don't know what you do when you're six. Do you go to proper school? What do you do when you're six? Right. I don't know. I wasn't six for a long time.
We always try and do... Our anniversary is bang on Halloween as well, isn't it? So I always want to try and think of something Halloween-y. In fact, there's an album I want to review, which I did think, let's save it for Halloween, which is Exorcist Nightmare Theatre. And in fact, bring up now Google Exorcist Nightmare Theatre and look at the album cover and you will know instantly.
Hang on. Oh, I see, with the melty face chick going on.
Right, that is the band. The bands were never actually listed in Metal Archives. It was like a one man project, but it was a side project of someone who was in another band. But yeah, apparently it was meant to be an ongoing film, and only ever did the one album. But yeah, apparently that was meant to be the band. Right. So when you listen to it, that's who you picture. You picture zombies playing. But it's a fucking cool album.
I hope you've got this, because I'm looking at the prices on Amazon and I'm thinking, this is a lot of money.
Guy,
guess how much it is for used.
Who are you talking to?
Come on.
Have I ever let you down? Look.
Well, audio CD is 18 fucking pounds, so I fucking hope so. Oh, and guess how much a used vinyl is? £50 and 13 pence. There isn't enough money in the world for me to pay £50 and 13 pence for a used ass vinyl when you can get it for fucking like brand new for like £34.19. Jesus Christ. I've just been on a rant about the price. You know how much it costs for the CD? 18 quid.
Nah, this was... I've got this... do you remember the one we did with a guy? Remember Infernal Majesty? Is that it?
Yeah.
I got that and this. I think that's $12.99 each. This edition as well has got three CDs.
You could probably sell that for hundreds on the internet.
Sorry, two CDs. There's three. In fact, you will like this because you're the fucking sound anorak out of the two of us.
I am.
And this one's got
it's
three different versions of the same album. You've got and it's even called the Unholy Trinity Deluxe CD Edition. So version one is the Father, version two is the Son, and version three is the Unholy Spirit. And it's,
which do you reckon's the best one?
I just listened to the original one. But yeah, there's it's all different. It's three different mixes.
Mm.
Fuck knows why they needed that. But yeah. I've been meaning to do this on Halloween for about four fucking years.
Well, let's do it then.
Yeah.
Let's do that. I'll work. You've got your camera shit up. I need to work out my camera shit up between now and the fucking birthday. And all we'll do is we'll press record, and then whatever goes out, and it goes
out
on YouTube.
Review that album in the week. Put that out on the day, and then do a stream live that night. Just do a double.
Because. It's funny because I've been thinking about this as well, because I've just dusted off the good old mixer. Do you remember the fucking mixer back in the day?
Yeah,
it's still alive. So it's coming back to life in another form. I just need to get a better webcam, but other than that, I'm probably a background or I could just cut myself something off. But either way, yeah, we're gonna do something different for our sixth birthday. Should we get on to Exit the Soul? Because it is the longest track on the album.
Let's get back to
No, that's all right. It's a good bit of tangent. Good bit of a tangent. But 7 minutes and 19 seconds. I haven't really kept track of time for it. It's kind of a bit like when you're stoned, really. I think the vocals are good, but there's a little bit too much effects on at times. I'm always one where if you can hold a tune, flaunt it. Around 3 minutes and 4 seconds, the song changes up and you get a very dark side of the moon vibes to it. And 4 minutes and 30 is a very fucking Sabbath riff, and I like it. And like you said, it's not doomstoner stuff. It's uplifting music, and I've been caught unawares from this album at times, because when you hear the first riffs, you're thinking, God, this is just going to be mopey, miserable shit. And then the chorus comes on, the lyrics come on, you go, fucking hell, it's actually quite uplifting. I wouldn't really go out and look for this type of stuff either, and quite surprised on where I am with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great soundtrack if you're going out for a run. Not a sprint, but a run. Normally, you want to probably something a bit thrashy or something a bit fast-paced, but maybe a long walk, this would be really good out. If on a walk on your own, out in the open air. So there's a place near me known as the Mardyke, where you've got like a river running through. And when the deeper you walk, you can just get lost. You can just walk following this lake. I don't know if it's a lake or a river. I can't remember when one becomes the other.
A quantity of water.
Oh, probably a lake then. If the Thames is a river, then yeah, this is a lake.
You're so lake-ish.
And from where I could probably drive in about 20 minutes, you can walk for hours and end up there, you know, because you've got the A13 in the background. But I'll be going there quite often now. I've got a dog. But yeah, this would be a great soundtrack to walk and just get away from everything and switch off. Or again, you know, along a beach or a fucking, I don't know. I see cliffs. It just reminds me of being out in the open, and it's a really good.
It's exactly where I've enjoyed it the most.
This song in particular, I think this is probably the best song on the album for me. This is the one that I take with me. It's that and the opening track. What's it called? Sails. That's it. Sails. I really like.
Yeah.
But this one, I think, is the. If we were still a radio show, this is the song I would play, and I would probably finish with it as well. But yeah, that first opening riff, and you got that sort of keyboardy effect. I don't know if it's like a guitar effect, but that, you know, really cool lyrics, really cool like vocals. Nice little quiet bit in the middle. This reminds me, you've said there was like a Sabbath-y riff around 4 minutes, which reminded me actually when I remember I was walking out walking earlier with this playing, and I remember thinking this is kind of like if David Gilmour did an album with Tony Iommi, or the other way around. It's got that Pink Floyd-y vibe, but the vibe it's got is the is David Gilmour's sort of dreamy, spacey, open, ambient sort of stuff that he would do.
Wide leads, but semi-crunchy guitars.
Yeah, but you remember like the Division Bell? There was a lot of... Yeah.
It was dark.
Was it? I don't know. What I'm saying is
Final Cut is probably as dark as they get, so I reckon it kind of goes between them two albums, this one.
Yeah, but this is what I'm getting at. When after Final Cut, when that fucking bitter and twisted wanker left the band, David Gilmour took over, and so there was momentary lapse of reason, and then the Division Bell, wasn't there? But the Division Bell had a lot of like, it wasn't even instrumental. It was just like these ambient-y, soundscape-y songs. There's a bit of
it was long,
on there.
Long form music with a bit of whack whack whack.
Yeah, and that was the thing with Pink Floyd afterwards. It was sort of, you've got David Gilmour's sort of dreamy, fucking, like spacey, weird hippies. Well, he wasn't really a hippie, was he? That was the other one. Sid Barrett was the hippie. But they lost the aggressiveness that Roger Waters had. And Roger Waters' solo stuff sort of suffered because he had the aggressiveness, but none of the weird spacey shit that David Gilmour brought to the table. So they kind of a bit like McCartney and Lennon, I suppose. They both had brought the same thing together to make that formula.
They complement each other.
Yeah, and this reminds me of the David Gilmour open spacey sort of stuff. That's the only way I can sort of describe it. I'll tell you another one to listen to as well. Is the album they put out a few years ago. Was it the Endless River? That was all just
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's where I was actually going to jump in and say the Endless River is probably more similar to this than other stuff, because it is, there's a little bit of a song and then there's a little bit of singing and then it's got to, you know, like background stuff.
Yeah,
That's what this is.
Gilmour's solo, last couple of solo albums as well. He did one a year or two ago. A year or two ago. It's probably about 3 or 4 years ago now. Bollocks, what was it called? Rattled Out Lock was the single off it. Was the album called Rattled Out Lock?
I'm not sure.
That was quite an interesting album. He's always got... The thing is with David Gilmour, he's always got... He does interesting stuff, but you do have to kind of... He does do a lot of shit as well. Yeah.
Well, he did a lot of drugs.
But I do think... This kind of reminds me, if David Gilmour did jammed with a metal band or a heavier band... Something like this would come out, and that's a fucking massive compliment to the band, by the way. I think they've really they're doing something quite unique on this album.
Yeah, there's something different about it, and that's why I thought, come on, let's do it. And I find the random albums that we do, we just throw a fucking curveball in, are the most interesting, because it's something that, well, one, I didn't expect to get into it, or two, or it's something you were like, where the fuck did that come from? Well, it just come randomly from the internet. And that's why I want people to internet us and send us stuff to actually do, because I'd like a challenge. Don't ask me to do Korn, you gang of cunts. But other than that, give us a challenge for an album. The Fall Chorus. I like the acoustic intro, and it's a nice little mellow one, and it is a little good palate cleanser for the middle. It's a nice little ditty, and there's bits of it, the hooks will be stuck in my head for a while. The 2 minute mark, it turns into the old Bard stuff, Brave Sir Robin, and I like it because it reminds me, did you watch The Witcher on Netflix?
No.
It's based on a game anyway.
It was on in the background a couple of times. I think my missus was watching it. I think my missus likes the bloke who plays
Superman, Henry Cavill. Well, I would if it was a woman. I was into that, but I'm not. But like,
I'll have to wear a long grey wig next time I'm in the bedroom.
And put a fake scar on your face as well, a little bit of glue. Yeah. One of them. So I just slayed some fucking dragons and shit. Like, what? Should be all over you, sorted. But like, yeah, it changes up to like, there's a sub game on The Witcher that became its own game where you play cards, and it's proper Dungeons and Dragons, where it's got like a 4 on the top and a 6 on the side and a 2 on the bottom, and your number beats the other number and you win. And it has music around about the 2 minute mark like this, and I'm just like, wow. It's very Dungeons and Dragons and geeky, and the fact that I fucking know what it is makes me a sad twat. But like, the sound does sound a little bit more open on this one, and it's a top little track, and weirdly for me, for one of the mellower tracks on the album, it's my favourite track on the album so far. It's rare that I like the mellower tracks above others, but in this case it's different. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think this is a really lovely song. It's a warm, mellow, hot milk song.
It's like Horlicks.
I mean, I don't listen to a lot of folk. Folk's one of those types of music, a bit like jazz or something like that. You know, when someone says, "Oh, I listen to a lot of folk," so I'm like, "Oh, fuck, here we go." But it has got a bit of. It is sort of related to metal in a way. I think there's a lot of parallel things in common. If you get a nice, good folk album, especially like an old school one, they always have really cool album covers.
Indeed.
A lot of the same subject matter as well. I suppose if you took metal and folk, I suppose prog would be the bridge in the middle. Obviously, there's a lot of folky stuff on a lot of prog albums from the 70s. So I'm just saying my relationship to it, like what I listen to, I mean, I don't know a lot about it. I do like, you know, some of the stuff on the early Genesis albums. Winter Falef, who I brought up earlier, they dip their toe now and then in folk. There's sort of like interlude passages and certain little bits in the sections of songs, and they dipped their toe in and did an acoustic EP of just folk music. And then a year or two ago, their last album was a full album of just folk. This new album that they released this year, they went back to doing black metal, but it was like, yeah, it was a element of our sound that they just wanted to explore fully rather than just flirt with. So they did, and I thought it was a nice little stopgap release, and it was actually a really good album. Same sort of thing as what I said with this album. It was a great album to sort of just go on a walk with, and it was a good little winter. It was a good soundtrack to the winter, you know. And another, funny enough, a really good album that I like is the soundtrack to The Wicker Man. If you get the special edition of that that came out a few years ago, that was one of the CDs. I think you got like one disc was a theatrical cut and then a director's cut and a lot of extras in the middle, you know, all the good stuff that you get with anniversary releases. But yeah, and the one of the discs was the CD of the soundtrack, and I really like that stuff. So maybe I do like folk, who knows?
Well, my only experiences with folk was like my mum's like records were 70s disco and shit. And occasionally you get this random fucking folk song thrown in and a bit of Carpenters, which did delve into a little bit of folk, if I'm honest, and country. But like, yeah. So I never really fucking...
Do you know what song? I used to hate this song, right? But now I really like it for some reason, because I'm
go on.
Becoming old.
This is... Is
ready.
I bought my midlife... Hang on. Let me just set the stage. This week...
You're going to be a knob just for the fucking sake of it now. I know you are.
No. I'm setting the stage. I have bought my midlife crisis trainers this week, and Joe's had a picture of my punk pumps. So is this your midlife crisis music?
It's just... this isn't so bad as I get a bit older. I don't...
Come on.
Mike Oldfield. You ready?
Is it Tubular Bells?
Yeah, he did Tubular Bells, but then he's got his sister on vocals. I can't remember it. Take it away by a moonlight shadow.
Oh, my God, I remember that. Fuck me, I remember that shit.
You're the guy at the far show. Hi, Mike Feeney, Eco Warrior. It's got career.
Far away from the other side. I can remember that now.
Yeah.
I hate you. That's stuck in my head.
It will be stuck in your head. Oh, what was that? Do you remember a song called Day Trip to Bangor? Have you ever heard that?
I probably fucking have, to be fair.
Yeah. Didn't we have a lovely day? The day we went to Bangor. A beautiful day, we had lunch and away, and all for under a pound.
that is proper, like, this is what us Northerners expected you Southerners to be doing, eating your fucking jelly deals at the piano, shaking your elbows. That's what I imagined you'd be up to, and I'm doing the elbow shaking round the piano. I expected that when I first went to London fucking 10 years ago, nearly now. Actually, no, 16 years? Shit. It's a long time. I did go to a pub, though. Haven't said that. I did go to a pub in London, and there was an old guy playing a piano, and there was, like, Cockneys doing knees up Mother Brown. Yeah, it happened once.
Fucking traitor.
It happened once.
They won't be there for long.
They're probably not there now, to be fair. But yeah. What song are we actually fucking on?
Nice little folky one.
Yeah, well, go on. You continue.
Yeah, so basically, I've just said all the things it reminded me of, really. But no, this is a really nice song. Really nice vocal melody. Nice, calm. Mellow. Introspective. Is that a word?
Yes. Yeah. It makes you think and you lose yourself in it a little bit, I think.
Again, this is a fireplace in a pub. Pissing down outside, and you're just having a moment, having a Guinness, or just
or like a nice whiskey on the rocks.
Yeah,
nice whiskey on the rocks. And but keep the pub and the fireplace.
This is a proper pub. If you ask for ice, they'd be like, what? You don't need ice.
Okay, then.
This place is cold enough as it is. Somewhere in the island or something like that.
Whiskey, cigar, or pipe. Choose your weapon. I'm choosing cigar. And I did have one the other night. I had a cigar.
I found a pipe once in one of my granddad's old drawer. Like granddad's drawer. I never saw him with a pipe, but he had one. And I went and sucked and a load of fucking shit went in my mouth.
I thought it smelled nice though. Someone would walk past it and be like, that smells interesting. After like years of smoking fucking, what was it? It was, fuck me, the light ciggies, Marlboro lights. I smoked Marlboro lights because Marlboro was heavy metal, but Marlboro lights was just like, okay, you're still heavy metal, but you're choosing not to kill yourself with the cigarettes you're smoking. I smoked them for years. And then, like, there'd be, like, some old gaff with a massive moustache go past with, like, a fragrant tobacco and a pipe, and I'd be like, But, like, I tried it, and it was fucking horrible. I prefer cigars. So, cigar, whiskey, no ice, fireplace, pub. Yes. This music does it.
Yeah.
I think we're there. Next song, Bird. I like the intro, then it kicks in. And it is proper soaring, like the lyrics, and the music captures the essence of what they went for. Like, I found myself just getting lost in the music a little bit and not typing notes at the same time. And there is a lot to take in again, because you do need a few listens to get into it, and you got to let it soak in like a stone sponge, because you know what, right? I smoke pot and I listen to this quite high at times, and I probably enjoyed it more with the big headphones on in the dark. Stone like a motherfucker. The bass bit in the song is cool. It builds up without being over elaborate, and it's just pleasant to hear. It's not offensive music, and it must have been really fun to get all the elements to work in the studio. It would be kind of like a puzzle they'd have to work out, because there was a lot of elements to put into it. But like, it is going on a journey somewhere, music, and they always go off on one for a bit and then it returns to whence it came. And with the catchy hooks, and then of flying high. It's like, there must have been like, okay, it is true, I do smoke, I do inhale, unlike Clinton, I admit I do inhale, but like, there must have been some weed smoke to actually conceive some of this music, to be fair, because it is proper stoner stuff. Like, yeah man, it is one of them. I hope so. So we reached out to the band, well I did, on Facebook, and we'll try and grab one of them on for a future show and ask them to directly, was the cannabis consumed? Because you don't come up with shit like this in London unless you're stoned, because there's no fucking fields. And the only birds you see are pigeons that tend to shit on you.
Yeah, this song, what I like about this song mainly is the way, it's basically like waves. It has like a nice calm moment, and then when it just kicks in, and when you hear this song, you'll know what I mean. It's just it gives it that extra effect. It's kind of like this album isn't actually that heavy, but it's in another way, it's a lot of heavier than some extreme music in terms of effect. And when that heavy bit does kick in, with the sort of vocals that sort of soar over the top of it. He's not like soaring vocals. He sings quite quietly, but it does go over. Again, you know what I mean when you hear it. But yeah, no, it's a really cool effect. And again, in the right venue with the right sound and the right, elements all coming in place, I think this would be really cool live, really good. It'd be like a real heavy sort of wall of noise hitting you when that does kick in. But the calm bits are really nice as well.
Do you find that it builds up without being over intensive or over elaborate to get where it's going? It takes its time before it gets there, but you can feel the pressure of the song rising up and the intensity, but without the actual animation, if you get me. It's a slow build, but it builds well.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Wasted. Well, Not quite. It's only 8 o'clock. Bit of noise to kick off, but then there's a meaty opening riff. They have got a formula, and they do like to float around it with an element of freeform now and again. And this song isn't that bad, but I feel what came before has got a bit more of an impact for me. I really like the intro, though. It's still a good song, and it flows well, and it keeps the kettle boiling. So, unlike other albums, I'm not going to say we'll just scrap it because it's not working. It's weird. But, like, there's a little cheeky distorted bass solo, and I'm all up for some of that. And the opening riff is a really, really good riff. So, yeah, not the best song, but, yeah, keeps the kettle boiling. And that was what we used to talk about in school. Did you ever do that when you just play one touch with your mates and you kick the ball and you had to keep the kettle boiling? Just as soon as the ball comes to you, you'd have to kick it. Or you were shit. And this song keeps the kettle boiling and keeps the ball moving and keeps the album rolling. So, yeah, good.
Yeah. I think the album's peak really is the three middle songs, really. So you got Exit the Soul, the full chorus, and Bird is the sort of, yeah. But again, yeah, this is quite a nice song still. Really good vocal melodies, actually. The vocals are actually the hook on this track. You've got that sort of fuzzy riff catching it all, carrying it all, sorry, not catching it all. But yeah, you've got that, like you say, that little breakdown in the middle. But yeah, not a bad song by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we sort of built up to our peak in the middle of the album, and then we're sort of winding ourselves down at the end.
I can see that. So Broken Nails, acoustic intro, very choir-like singing going on, good harmonies. And they do love a really good little fret bend. Again, very atmospheric, slowly building up to somewhere. But it's going to meander and it's going to take its time to get there. And if you're expecting them just to kick right in with a hook or a chorus to get you going, they're just going to make you wait. They're not just going to stick the finger right on the clit. They're just going to tease around the sides. And that's what they're doing here. But like, yeah, I think the main vocal should be pushed up. One faux pas, I would say. It needs to be pushed up in the mix because they've gone for that like background little effect going on with the vocals, but the vocals are good enough to stand on their own, because if you hear on the acoustic tracks in particular, Joe, I don't know if you picked up on it, the acoustic tracks, the vocals are higher in the mix and the vocals are good. So why aren't they as high as they are in the acoustic ones? I'm not sure, but yeah. 320, it slows down to a big chord slap, where they just slap a chord out for an ages. And I did think they took the time with a little bit of it, and they, again, do take the scenic route to get there before they change it up, but it just kind of feels like Brain Dead, Pink Floyd. It kind of feels like that. They're just closing out the album with one fucking massive song, and they're taking you over the edge and just letting your mind wander a little bit as you're listening to it, so you're getting a little bit lost in the music. And then closing it up well. And I didn't mind this track. Competent closer for a competent album that, fuck me, I really wasn't expecting for fucking 2020, to be fair. This does not sound like, to me, like a 2020 album.
Yeah, I kind of drop off, actually, with this track. I think once it gets to where it's going, it's pretty good. But and it closes the album out nicely. I think it could have maybe cut a bit off at the beginning and kind of got in, but it's not bad in any way. But yeah, it takes a while to get where it's going, but once it does kick in towards the end, it's pretty good. And pretty much what I've been saying about the rest of the songs, really. It's kind of just another track on the album for me. Does it close the album well? Yeah, pretty much, but I think all the other songs would have as well. So I'm pretty mutual with this track, to be honest.
I know, for like an album that is, like, in essence, a bit long, we nailed this.
Well, it's kind of long, but kind of not. It's like,
it just takes its time to get where it wants to go, and then we're already there before, but that's not, like, of detriment to the album itself, because when you're in that frame of mind, the sun's out, you're bouncing down the road, or you're in the car driving, when the sun happens in our fair pissy fucking country where it pisses down all the time, it would be nice because you don't have to give it too much attention, but when you do, it will reward you. And so let's do the ratings. I'll go last.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this album. It's something I don't normally listen to, which has been a breath of fresh air and a nice little palate cleanser. Again, I was kind of neither here nor there on the first listen, but as the week's gone on, I'm actually thinking of picking up a copy. I've just had a look on them.
Yeah, they've got a fucking cool, like, I've got a record player, and I know you have too. The vinyl, you've got some splatter vinyl.
Yeah, the vinyl looks nice. I was thinking of picking up. I looked at the download. The download's $7.99, but it's $9.99 for a CD. So fuck it, I might just get the CD. I don't think this is an album I'm going to go to often, but it's going to be an album that I'll pick out at special times, and one of those albums that you listen to maybe once a year or once every other year. But when you do book it out, you enjoy it, and nothing suffices when you are in the mood for it. So I think, yeah, this is it's been a nice change, yeah, and a really good experience.
It has been a change up. So thanks to the person that said that I should do it, who likes Scouse accents. My accent's not that Scouse. I lived in fucking Cockneysville for fucking ages. Anyway, 8 out of 10. Came out of nowhere, and it did please me ears. And it's not normally the shit I'd listen to, but it has all the good elements, and I'm gonna be eager to see what they're doing next, to be fair. If they can build on this and slim it down a little bit, I would say, then it's gonna fucking work out. So yeah, I'm quite happy to hear what's coming next. 8 out of 10. Joe.
Yeah, I'd give
it. What is your YouTube channel?
I'd give it an 8 out of 10 as well. I didn't give it a rating in the end, but I said I'd buy it, so I think that'd do for the band. The YouTube.
I'm gonna get the splatter one.
Check out Nightmare Cabin on the YouTube channel. I just I uploaded a video about Holy Terror yesterday. I've got a few other ideas coming up, so yeah, like and subscribe or check out. Also, I've got to submit one more article by the end of the week. The Metal Legion, the next issue of that's going to be really good, and the one after that's going to be really fucking good as well. This magazine's getting better with every issue. Really, I'll say we're finding our feet, but a feet already found. We're
you run to fuck.
Yeah,
it is my go-to have a shit magazine. that is not a disrespect, because when you go for a shit, I normally take my phone, but the magazine's there, and it's good because it's got so many little reviews of albums. I wouldn't fucking know half the albums in it, man. You know me, if it's not short of Spotify or recommendations and stuff we do, that's why I want people to get in touch with us and suggest to do new stuff, because it's cool. But it's good to just get a little heads up on what's going on. Like, whether it's your heavy, your black, your death, or whatever, they seem to have it nailed, so it's good shit.
Yeah, I read it, even though I'm in it, and I've still discovered bands that I've never even heard of. So, even if I wasn't... I'll say it again. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. Even though I write for the magazine, I would happily buy it. I don't... put my name to anything I don't back up, you know. This is your Uncle Joey talking here, guys. I ain't gonna lie to you.
You little fox.
It's a fucking really good magazine. And it's better than any of those ones that you can buy in WH Smith's. And that's not sour grapes.
They charge loads for like fucking hula hoops. A bag of hula hoops will cost you like fucking £2. You're just getting your train to wherever you're going in the country, in the UK. And they have these shops, WH Smith is the news agents. And now all they do is just charge you like fucking like £4 for a bag of hula hoops. And where you could buy it in like a pound shop for a pound. It's like, fuck you, WH Smith. Buy this instead. We've got stuff going on. We will eventually get on YouTube and do a live one, because it's our birthday soon. I think we should do it then for sure. But at Rock Show Online is Twitter. The Rock Show Online on Facebook. We should change the name, but I'm too lazy. If you enjoyed this show, share this show. Don't be a cunt. Thanks very much. See you later.